League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again! And Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the Gau Studios in Houston, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, thanks for tuning in to Soccer Matters on ESPN's 97.5. And tonight, we will continue to celebrate like it's 1999. It took 15 years, but the U.S. Women's National Team has now won their third World Cup. And they're the only national program to have done that. They do it in front of a U.S. viewing audience of 26 million fans. 5-2 over Japan. The poor Japanese did not know what hit them. They were hit twice for goals in the first 5 minutes from Carly Lloyd, for four goals in the first 16. Lloyd picked up a hat trick in 16 minutes, and it was over. No matter what anybody else said, it was over. Tonight, I want to hear from you, the soccer fan. I want to hear from you about what this U.S. women's game meant on Sunday at 713-780-3776. What it could potentially mean for the future of the sport. I'll tell you one thing already locally. The Sunday Houston Dash game. Over 12,000 tickets sold already. Normally, 1,500 to 2,000 down there. There's some very quick, short-term impact. What could be the long-term impact of the United States women knocking off Japan? I want to hear from you tonight, 713-780-3776. Where were you? How much did you enjoy this? And how cool was it? It was on 4th of July weekend. So the U.S. women on the docket here tonight at 713-780-3776. Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, Facebook, Soccer Matters. I've got Gold Cup tickets tonight. We're going to talk the Gold Cup. We will hear from El Salvador's Arturo Alvarez. El Salvador will be in action tomorrow. Group B play for them. They will take on Canada. Arturo Alvarez grew up playing the game here in Bear Creek. Had Salvadorian parents. Became a Salvadorian international. Joined Major League Soccer as a teenager with San Jose. So 713-780-3776. U.S. women against Japan, 26 million people, as I mentioned, watched it. Carly Lloyd, up for the moment in a big way. I mean, she got the drum roll. She lifted her game ever since she got into an extended position higher up the field. Put the team on her back from an attacking standpoint. This was Carly Lloyd's World Cup. It wasn't Abby Wambach's. It wasn't Alex Morgan's. This was Carly Lloyd's moment. She lived up to it. And what's beautiful about all this, Alex Morgan still contributed. Abby Wambach contributed in a much different way as a leader and went out a World Cup champion. Christy Rampone, 40 years of age, the first 40-year-old woman to play in the World Cup. So many wonderful things. And then there's the future. Julie Johnston as a center back. But what does it take away for the women's game, long and short term? Tonight we'll hear from a number of different people weighing in on that topic. G. Guerrieri, the Texas A&M women's coach. Randy Waldrum, the Houston Dash coach, will be on the show, along with Arturo Alvarez. So what I want is to hear from you, and you may not even be a big soccer fan. If you aren't even a big soccer fan, you're just a sports fan, and this appealed to you, tell us why. I mean, it was just about the U.S. putting a beat down on Japan in the World Cup final and winning the title. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. 780-3776 is the number to call in here tonight and bring us your thoughts. Three Houston Dash players were a part of this Women's World Cup and all performed exceptionally. Morgan Bryan came into the team later in the tournament. It enabled Carly Lloyd to get moved higher up the field. It lifted some of the defensive responsibilities she had that I think dulled her attacking sword. There's lots of theories as to why it took so long. In the end, it doesn't matter. But things do have to go your way in a World Cup. Julie Johnson not being sent off against Germany after conceding the penalty. Then the Germans miss a penalty kick. The fact that Germany and France beat the heck out of each other in their prior match. Went into overtime, went to penalty kicks. Change in formation from the manager. Yellow cards forced starting lineup changes for the U.S. Women's National Team. Organic or not, who cares? The coach, Jill Ellis, gets credit. But things sometimes happen. And did I mention that wonderful defining moment when after the U.S. beat Colombia and did not play well and had not played well up to that point in this tournament, there was real fair and healthy criticism from soccer fans, which, by the way, memo to all involved with professional sports teams in soccer in this country. Your fan base is becoming educated by the second. There is a slew of people involved in the sport who know the game. So the sensitivity, it's got to drop. It's got to be gone. You have to learn to deal with the press and the media, whether you like to or not now. And get off the high horse once in a while, because this is essential for the growth of the game. And any coach who does not want healthy pressure in their market is kidding themselves. Because healthy pressure brings better performances out of players, coaches, and professional clubs in their front offices. I don't think there's any question. 713-780-3776. Agree or disagree? So what happened after the Colombia game was the U.S. got criticized. And this just wasn't about winning anymore, and it just wasn't about mentoring young girls. This was, we want to see better soccer. We want to see the U.S. women that we know. And lo and behold, it all kicked in, didn't it? Starting with China, a high-pressing, aggressive U.S. national team. They morphed into something different. They timed it perfectly. And most everybody in that stadium in Vancouver knew who was going to win that game. And that's all, with all due respect to Japan. There was no stopping that U.S. machine. I called it unstoppable, and some people called me out on it. And I said, look, with all due respect to one game on one day and a World Cup final, the only way the U.S. would lose to Japan if it's self-inflicted. And the things that I factored in did not for a second show me any self-inflicted nature from the U.S. In 5 minutes, it was over. In 14, it was definitively over. Or 15, 16, whatever it was. Four goals. Japanese couldn't get out of their own half. They couldn't string three passes together. It was done. The U.S. had to try to remain interested the rest of the game. 713-780-3776. And then there's a celebration, genuine, authentic, intimate, team-like, with 26 million people watching. And the peak time for watching that game was when the U.S. was celebrating. And the way the U.S. women celebrated, just the authenticity of it was awesome. There was no self. There was selfies with little girls. I mean, it was fabulous. And another thing, the lack of diving in the women's game, I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. There's just a difference in the women's and men's game when it comes to diving and all the acting, which is refreshing. All right, 713-780-3776 to the phone lines we go. We'll start it with Mark tonight. Mark, what's on your mind?
Hey, Glenn, great show. And great to hear the local, all the local folks in Houston are going out for the Dash game. Those are so great. But taking it back earlier in the Cup, when how do you think things would have turned out if Megan Klintenberg wouldn't have stopped that goal from going in?
Yeah, headed one off the crossbar against Sweden. Well, I mean, that's what I was trying to point out with some of the things that happen in the navigation of a tournament. You know, if you have an off day, if you survive and still get a result, calls that go your way. Julie Johnston. You know, there's all kinds of factors in this thing that are beyond your control that could change and alter the course of the journey. For the U.S., fortunately, it didn't. And in some ways, it may have helped the situation. And I'm referring to the yellow cards, where initially the U.S. was saying conspiracy and why is Rapinoe picking up a yellow card and Holiday and all that, which I thought at the time was a bit of a statement as to where the U.S. were. They weren't stable. But boy, after that Colombia game, healthy pressure from fans, healthy pressure from the media, it kicked back into the old U.S. team with Carly Lloyd in a higher position, and the rest is history.
Yeah, no, agreed. Well, great. Thanks a lot.
Okay, Mark, thank you very much for the phone call. 713-780-3776. We got another Mark on. Mark, what's on your mind?
Hi, good evening, Glenn. How are you?
Very good, sir.
Just kind of a yes or no question, really, with regards to Arsenal. Are they title challengers, or are they still a couple of players short from mounting a serious title challenge?
Boy, that's a good question. Well, do they have the definitive holding midfielder yet that we've been seeking?
I don't know. I think Ramsey can fill that position. They've got Jack Wilshere who can do a job. I think it's probably goals, which might be...
Striker position good enough for you?
Who?
Is the striker position good enough for you?
I don't know. I mean, Welbeck's never been, a prolific goal scorer, wherever he's been. Giroud can do a job, but I don't think he's more than a 12, 13, 14. So maybe they just do need that out-and-out goal scorer that's capable of 20-plus goals.
Yeah, you know, that's always an interesting debate is, do you need an out-and-out goal scorer? And I think you do in the Premier League. You know, there's reports today coming out of the Daily Mail, I think, saying that Angel Di Maria might go from Manchester United to Arsenal. I don't know how much truth is in this. I do know that Arsene Wenger in the past has had real interest in him. I also love the storyline of Peter Cech from Chelsea going to Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people said when that transfer happened that was the final piece of the Arsenal jigsaw, but I still think they're a goal scorer short, even with Sanchez and Oxlade-Chamberlain. Walcott came back towards the end of the season and chipped in with a few, but I do think they're short of that goal scorer.
So let me answer your question. I'm going to say no unless they sign a prolific striker.
I'll agree with that.
That's where I'm at.
Yeah. Then one final question. Liverpool, all these signings, do you think this looks like they're being a little bit desperate, you know, signing these players that, you know, we haven't really heard of? Do you think Brendan Rodgers has got one final season to make the top four, and if not, he's out of a job?
Yeah, I do think there is some desperation and urgency in these signings. This team has never obviously been the same since Luis Suarez left. But it's been a pretty busy summer for Brendan Rodgers, hasn't it?
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not sure if they're top four material just yet.
We'll find out. And by the way, speaking of Liverpool, Steven Gerrard's going to be here in a couple of weeks with the LA Galaxy to take on the Houston Dynamo. Yeah, I think you better get them soon, because what I'm understanding is they're close to a sellout for that game.
Wow, I'll have to get down there then.
Yep, you better get them soon. Anything else, Mark?
Thanks.
Mark, thank you so much for the phone call. Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. All right, we go to the phone lines now, and Juan Padilla. Now, Juan is involved with a big event coming up here. Real Madrid is doing soccer camps here in Houston. Juan, thank you very much for coming on the phone.
Hey, Glenn, how are you?
We appreciate you being on the show tonight. All right, you got a big event up in the Woodlands here. There was a tie to Real Madrid. Tell us about what's going on with this soccer camp and this education.
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to thank you. I'm very happy to say hi to you and all the people that are listening. I was hearing about all the women's talking that you have before, and it's amazing everything that is going on in soccer. And we have talked in several programs and different times with you about the growth that soccer is having in the world, but especially here in the United States. So we are happy to announce that we are bringing the campus experience with Real Madrid Foundation. And we want to thank first our exclusive partner, that is the Woodlands Prep, the company that is making this possible. And it's not only a soccer camp. It's bringing arguably the best team in the world, Real Madrid. And through the values that they work in Spain, they're going to transmit this with all the kids. It's a soccer camp, full day, starting at 9 a.m. through 5 p.m. And the great thing about this, Glenn, is that they work through the values and the sport that they really actually use in Madrid. So we're talking about five basic values, because the Real Madrid Foundation offers the integral formation only by the sports. So we're working about teamwork, leadership, effort, respect, self-control, and obviously a lot of soccer that we love.
This is 7 to 17 years of age for boys and girls. It's the Real Madrid Foundation. It is called campusexperiencemf.com. That's where you get information, campusexperiencemf.com, or you call 281-516-0600. Your partners are the Woodlands Prep. Talk about some of the instructors and their qualifications and what's going to be happening at Eldridge Park.
Yeah, well, let me tell you first that we will have two locations. First, we will have Eldridge Park from July 27 to July 31st. And then we will have the next week, taking advantage of having the people from Real Madrid here. And we will go to the north part of Houston in the Woodlands. Actually, we will have that camp in the Woodlands Preparatory School that is the exclusive partner. And that's going to be from August 3rd to August the 7th. The instructors, obviously, the camp is going to be run and operated by Real Madrid head coaches. And we will have monitors that we will be helping to these guys. But all the camp is going to be run. All the camp is going to be operated 100% by the Real Madrid instructor. So the people that is listening, they have to be sure that this is a professional and a unique opportunity for the children that have been involved in soccer for years, or if they just starting to get this atmosphere of soccer with the Copa America, with the Gold Cup, with the Women's World Cup, is the right time to get involved. And what a very way to do it with the best team in the world.
It's any level. So 7 to 17 years of age. It's male, female. Here's where it is again. July 27th to July 31st. Eldridge Park in Sugarland. That's 2511 Eldridge Road, Sugarland. It's 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. You can, again, register, and I'll tell you where to register in a second. Then in the Woodlands, it's August 3rd to August 7th at the Woodlands Prep. That's 27440 Coikendal Road in Tomball. That's 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. So, it's going to be a wonderful opportunity to get out there, get amongst the Real Madrid trainers and learn how they do it sort of the Real Madrid way. And again, it's campusexperiencemf.com to sign up, right, Juan?
It's Campus Experience RMF of Real Madrid Foundation. Campus Experience RMF.com/USA/Houston.
Get online, register. It's a great time to be out playing soccer. As Juan said, the Gold Cup, the Copa America, the women's national team winning. Get out to the fields, play the game, take the passion of what you're seeing on TV out to the fields with the Real Madrid Campus Experience. Juan, thank you very much for coming on the program.
Glenn, thank you so much.
Hope
to see you soon and talk about soccer later.
We will definitely do that. One more time, give the information out where people can register.
It's campusexperiencermf.com/USA/Houston, and the phone number is 281-516-0600.
Juan, thank you very much. Best of luck bringing the Real Madrid experience here to Houston.
Thank you, my friend. See you soon.
Yes, that's Juan Padilla. Juan also promoted some of the international soccer that came to Houston. If you remember the Querétaro game with Ronaldinho, that was Juan Padilla. All right, we'll take a break here. 713-780-3776. What's on your soccer mind here tonight? How is the U.S. going to do tonight against Honduras? Talk about the U.S. roster. Talk about the women's national team. Carly Lloyd, will she be your World Player of the Year? Are you going to the Houston Dash game on the 12th? They've already sold well over 12,000 tickets. What do you think the takeaway is for the women's game now? Tonight we're going to hear from a number of people on that. But I want your opinion. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. Sixth caller right now. You get a pair of tickets to the Gold Cup this Saturday night, July 11th. You can see a local native, Arturo Alvarez, for El Salvador. You can see Giles Barnes and Jermaine Taylor for Jamaica. 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the Gao Studios in Houston. Here's Glenn Davis.
And Japan need to find a way to get back into this, and now it's Carly Lloyd with a steal. She's going to try to chip the keeper off the line. 4-0 USA. What an unbelievable moment. What a smart play. What a headsy play. And it may have just won the World Cup early in the match.
All right, I said I was going to be organic, but I'm not going to be, Michael. I'm just giving these two Dash tickets away right now. Sunday, the Houston Dash will play the Chicago Red Stars, and that woman who scored from the halfway line, Carly Lloyd, Megan Klingenberg, Morgan Bryan, will be there. It's a Houston Dash, Chicago Red Stars this Sunday. I got a pair of tickets right now for the sixth caller. Women's soccer fans, I want to hear from you tonight. 713-780-3776. The platform is yours. 713-780-3776. Right now. All right, so I've got Gold Cup tickets to give away as well. So much to talk about here as I go over to Twitter right now. A couple of interesting things coming in. Just Bill says this about the NWSL, where I put out the question, how much of a spike will the NWSL get with women's success? Will fans come to see them with their club teams regularly in the league? Just Bill says no media to follow them, not on Score app, CBS Sports app, can't get push notifications. Dash link to Dynamo site. I think Just Bill wants a Dash site on its own. Ducky Donnie Sweeney says, are you saying Pirlo is the devil and that we should have sympathy for him? I don't know what he's, is that the Rolling Stones, sympathy for the devil? I have nothing to do with saying Pirlo is a devil. Not sure what that's all about. But Andrea Pirlo is going to be playing with New York City FC. So I think people are going to be very, very excited about that. The number to call in tonight. By the way, two guys in radio that are going to be, and I just wanted to mention that because they're friends, they're colleagues, they're guys that have really been around radio and have done wonderful things over the years. One is Barry Warner, and the other is Tom Franklin. And everybody here in Houston knows Barry Warner and Tom Franklin. Both of them are going to be inducted into the Texas Radio Hall of Fame. So quite an honor for both Barry and Tom Franklin. And Tom, actually, and I, when I was cutting my teeth, when I first was beginning and I was doing radio and TV as an analyst, Tom was the play-by-play man for the Houston Hotshots, and I was doing the color. So he knows where I started from, let's just say that. 713-780-3776 is the number here to call in tonight. You heard the Carly Lloyd goal from the halfway line. You talk about a woman who lived up to it. Well, she certainly did. I go back to the celebration, though, at the end of the game. And it was spectacular. It was so positive. And it was such a win in so many ways, seeing these women celebrate in front of 50,000 fans, a viewing audience of 26 million. We could see what this meant personally to this team, to these women. The celebration was not showy. I didn't see any self-serving nature to it. It was not showing off. It was genuine. It was authentic. It was intimate. Something special about women's sports. And 26 million people saw it. I also mentioned earlier the lack of drama when it comes to diving in the women's game. And it's kind of like zoning. Once you've ruined the rules of zoning, it's pretty tough to come back. I don't know how the men's game can ever eliminate any of that because it's become such a big part of it. And it's almost accepted culturally in a lot of countries that the men's game is played. I hope it's never accepted culturally in the women's game. But the big question is now, what sort of reach now will this have? Of course, in the short term here, there's excitement. There's been a lot of connection with young women. There's a lot of great things going on with this women's result. Expansion of the tournament, the game on the women's side reaching into countries that did not have it before. But how much of effect will it have on the NWSL? Well, we know right now in the short term, while we're catching lightning in a bottle, there's 12,000-plus fans coming to the Houston Dash on Sunday, and I wouldn't be surprised if it goes and breaches 15,000. I don't think there's any question. When I heard that the women will be there and they won the World Cup, hands down, knew it was going to go over 10. I think I said it on this show. So give me your thoughts. 713-780-3776. Can women's team sports, and I'm talking now specifically soccer, the NWSL, can it become more popular? Or will it forever kind of be like the women's game is from a team perspective? You've got this one aberration, which is Portland with crazy fans that come out, 9,000-10,000 for the women's game. But everywhere else, it's pretty sparse crowds. Let's be fair. With these women coming back, do you think on a daily basis now people are going to be more interested in the NWSL and the women's game after winning this World Cup 5-2 over Japan? 26 million people saw it. Do you think newbies come out to the game now for the star quality? 713-780-3776. I don't think there's any question it'll have far-reaching effect at the grassroots level. The question is how do you get people to come out to the NWSL games, the Women's Pro League here in the United States? Or should we just accept the fact that, look, the bottom line is this. Women's soccer is all about the Olympics and the World Cup. Everything else in between is to prepare these ladies for it. And if it means we have a league that only draws 2,000 or 3,000, so be it. And maybe that's okay. Because there's no doubt that the NWSL has got a hand in the competitive side of helping prepare the U.S. women's national team and growing some new young talents that are going to blossom into the team, a la Julie Johnston, a la Sydney LaRue. There's no doubt this league has played a part in that win on Sunday. So it's at a high right now with the women. Where does it settle back in? How far-reaching are these effects? Positively, I will say, smaller piece of the pie is going to be gathered back. This is only good for the sport of soccer. Is it going to change the total attitude of and blow up the NWSL? In my opinion, no, it's not. It's not. Can it improve it? Sure. It's definitely going to improve. And there's going to be some excellent crowds here in the short term. I don't think there's any question. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. I want to hear from you. Let's go to Austin, who is on the phone lines. Austin, you are on the 7-Up phone line. What's happening?
Hey, not a lot. How's it going?
Good. What's up?
Man, I just want to say, you know, with soccer in the in North America, it usually catches lightning in a bottle after the World Cup, and we're all gung-ho about America, everything like that. But, you know, after about 6 months or so, you know, it's just not – we tend to forget what happened, and, you know, we start getting more involved in the NFL and everything like that. I just strongly believe that, you know, maybe a game or two after the Women's World Cup, maybe you'll see a spike in attendance. But after that, you know, and we're probably going to forget, you know, we're probably going to forget about it. It's just not going to be that big of a thing. I mean, it's no disrespect to women or the game of soccer itself. It's just how we operate as Americans. And, you know, with the NFL coming up, it's going to fail in popularity towards all of our other sports.
Well, let me just ask you this. Are you talking specifically the women's game, or are you talking soccer in general?
Honestly, I'm talking soccer in general. So, you know, with the men's game, we may see, you know, after we did so well in, 2014 or 2013?
Brazil, whatever the men's, right?
Yeah, Brazil. You know, we did well, and then now everybody's, you know, we're not even talking about that anymore. And
well, Austin, you know, can I ask you a question? You live in Houston, right?
I do.
Did you know that last Wednesday there were 70,000 people for the Mexico-Honduras game at Energy Stadium?
I did not know that, no.
So I'm educating you. Now, is there competition, like you said, 100%? And the United States, unlike countries around the world, have tremendous competition with three other traditional sports. That's without even mentioning hockey and lifestyle, which lifestyle is a lot different in this country than it is, frankly, in Latin America and lots of other places around the world. So, you know, it may have seemingly died off to you because I don't know if you're the deepest soccer fan, but there are lots of soccer fans in the U.S. Seattle regularly sells out a big stadium. Portland does. There's a lot of great markets. So, I know what you're saying. There is a shift in focus with many people who aren't the hardcore, but I think the hardcore is growing with millennials because right now with millennials, soccer stands only behind the NFL.
Well, what I will say is, you know, I'm not the deepest soccer fan. You know, at heart, I'm a Cowboys fan in the NFL. I like to watch the NBA. But, you know, I also enjoy soccer. And, you know, I just find it hard to believe that, you know, soccer is going to overtake.
Well, let me I got something for you here, and this will be a great litmus test for you and me. I've got a pair of tickets now, but you have to tell me you're going to do this, and you're going to be honest with me here and go. Would you like to go to an international doubleheader that's going to have a big crowd and it's got a lot of passionate nationalism this Saturday at BBVA Compass Stadium? It's a doubleheader.
Is it men's or women's?
It's men's. It's Jamaica against Canada. So you'll have Giles Barnes, Jermaine Taylor. This is the Gold Cup. These are going to be competitive games.
Okay.
5:30 and 8 o'clock. Then you got Costa Rica, who did so well in the World Cup against El Salvador. And the place will be packed. You'll have a genuine soccer experience if you want it. I'm willing to give you these tickets, but you got to go to it and then come back on the air and talk to me about it next Thursday.
You know, I do want to do that.
It's all up to you if you want to commit to it or not.
You know, I will do that, but I still think the fact remains that, you know, you're talking about hardcore fans, hardcore soccer fans in the U.S., and then I think it just the game
of
soccer.
I guess what I'm pointing out to you is it may go out of sight and out of mind to a lot of people that are, you know, in between and the ones that jump on the bandwagon. But it's a country full of people from all over the world that love the sport. And those are Americans as well. And they're traditional American families that are growing up with the game and have grown up with the game. Generations have turned over.
Yeah.
So you tell me, you want them or not?
I'd be happy to go, yeah.
Okay, I'll tell you what. We're going to put you on hold. We're going to give you these two tickets. You're going to have to come to the station and pick them up. You're going Saturday night, all right?
Glenn, that sounds great.
Austin, I really appreciate your phone call because it led to good discussion.
I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much. Stay on hold. We'll get back to you. I'm just going to let this music play. You know, I like... sometimes covers don't do it, but I like this one of Guns N' Roses of Sympathy of the Devil, for the Devil, from the Stones. And whoever told me that I was saying something about Andrea Pirlo, who's going to New York City FC, and he's talking to me about the devil, and what is that? What's the satanic stuff going on here? It has nothing to do with me.
ESPN 97.5.
You are listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the Gao Studios in Houston. Here's Glenn Davis.
Welcome back to the best of soccer talk here. It is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. I can't thank you, the listener, and you, the callers, enough for your support of this program. And speaking of support, well, don't forget Liberty Kitchen. Two of my favorite restaurants in Houston, Liberty Kitchen in the Heights and Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette on San Felipe. Award-winning chefs at these restaurants serving up the best in seafoods and meats. So you got the Galleria location on San Felipe, and then you got the Liberty Kitchen in the Heights, which is a little bit more of the Austin feel over there. Now, I love the raw bar at both of these restaurants, plus the fresh fish oysters gumbo right on down to amazing steaks and burgers. They're also serving breakfast on the weekends. So take it from me for an amazing dining experience. Liberty Kitchen and Liberty Kitchen and Oysterette. LibertyKitchen.com. Right now, an opportunity to bring in the head coach of the Houston Dash, this fresh off the U.S. winning the World Cup, and of course, the huge game this Sunday night, July 12th. The Chicago Red Stars in town to take on the Houston Dash with Carly Lloyd, Megan Klingenberg, and, of course, Morgan Bryant. He is Randy Waldrum. Let's first just get your general impressions of the final and just this U.S. team that really was up for the moment.
Well, you know what? As a coach, it's your dream performance. I mean, everything kind of came together at the right time and, got the fantastic start with Carly scoring a couple minutes in and then just a few minutes later getting the second one. And you really put Japan on their heels right off the bat. So it was, to me, it was just one of those kind of inspiring performances that people are going to talk about for years and years to come. It's the blueprint was perfect, and the players carried everything out to perfection.
You know, with the women doing such a wonderful job winning the 99 World Cup, we know the dynamics of the sport, the grassroots level, the college game. So much has changed and forced change from that wonderful effort from all those ladies on that team, the 99ers, as they called them. But was it time now to get a new sort of standard-bearing World Cup win here so that now there's sort of a new reference point for U.S. women's soccer?
Well, I think so. You know, it was 16 years ago when we won it, and a lot's happened in this country since then. I mean, we've seen, MLS really take a strong hold. And, of course, we've gone through three leagues now professionally, and the growth of youth soccer is still flourishing. So much has changed. I do think it was time. I think Carly, I saw in an interview where she kind of said it best. I think it was they didn't want to win it to put the 99s behind. They wanted to win it because of the time and effort they put into winning it in their careers here. So I think nobody was probably happier than the 99ers to see them win. But as a country, I think we really needed it. And, again, that kind of performance is just, it's going to be hard to match that at any point in time because it really was right from the opening whistle. It was a great, great performance by those young ladies.
Randy, I want to point out, and you know this as well, and I think many people do, but many people may forget, Carly Lloyd was actually getting criticized to a degree by some in the media and some of the fans after the Colombia game and in and around the group games, just as the U.S. women's national team was. And then all of a sudden it clicked for Carly because she got pushed higher up the field. And, of course, a big piece in this was Morgan Bryant. Just talk a little bit about that.
Well, I think you're right. The whole team was criticized, and I was one sitting there wondering why, too. I think we, it's not being in camp. It's hard to second guess, but the outside looking in, I didn't think the formation was right from the beginning. I didn't think Carly was a defensive midfield player, and Lauren Holiday, and that's basically both of them kind of had that kind of a defined role. I think we sat back and respected the international competition a little bit too much and defended a little bit lower, and we didn't use the American mentality, which is, you know, in a high pressure and get after things. And I think it changed a couple things. I think changed that, Glenn. I think one is probably so much scrutiny, you know, throughout the country. I think some of the players probably approached Jill about this as well. And then I think if you'll remember back, they were still playing out of a 4-4-2 in the playoff round. And a lot of people may not think this, but this could have been a little bit of a turning point because Amy Rodriguez started that game. And I thought that she really did something very well at that time. She really went out and pressed the Chinese back line and created a lot of problems. And I thought the team fed off of that. And up to that point, we really haven't high-pressured and really haven't pressed as a team. And I thought she really brought that to the table, and things started to click a little bit, you know. And then, of course, the next game, obviously they changed the formation and went to adding Morgan Brine in there, basically because Holiday and Rapinoe had to sit that game. And I think that changed everything. I think people started to see what Morgan Brine brings to the table, and what she was capable of doing. And once they got into that three-man central midfield, the last two games they've just been out.
Yeah, it was interesting. I've been trying to say, how do you validate, you know, the scrutiny and that healthy pressure? But boy, that's a positive thing for the game. And I know you and I talked about this already, but I saw that only as positive after the Colombia game, that U.S. fans were demanding more, and so was the media. And I also say that with the knowledge of sometimes we can commit paralysis by analysis and overanalyzing everything. But I do think at that moment this was significant in this tournament.
I think it was a huge turning point, you know, and I think we've got a much more educated fan out there now than we had 16 years ago. And you know, and with the advent of social media and the things that are so accessible to us all now, I think it has spurred this big debate throughout the tournament. And, you know, we really weren't great all the way through, you know, and, but, you know, credit to Jill and credit to the players. They found the right formula at the end. And as a coach, if you could have planned it anyway, and I'm not sure this was really planned that way. I think they all would have liked to have played better earlier in the first opening games, but at the end of the day, the team peaked at the right time in the tournament, and that's what you want, you know. And so they eventually got it right. I think there was a couple of things that factored into them getting it right. Maybe some the staff controlled, maybe some happened by accident. I think with Holiday and Rapinoe having to sit, that forced their hand a little bit. But, Glenn, think back. How different would it have been had Megan Klingenberg not cleared that ball off the line against Sweden? You know, and they lose that game and they finish second in the group instead of first in the group. You know, I mean, who knows what kind of path it would have taken. So there were so many moments like that in the World Cup that made this really interesting.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Even the Julie Johnston penalty conceded, she could have been sent off, and they were playing against 10 against Germany. So I guess
exactly.
Good fortune's a part of it as well, and finding your game at the right time. But it has been fascinating. And, you know, let's talk about now the local tie here with Carly Lloyd coming back, Megan Klingenberg, who's so good in this tournament, Morgan Brine. You got all three of them coming back. You take on the Chicago Red Stars on the 12th. I mean, already tickets are swelling. People need to get them over at HoustonDynamo.com. But this local tie is something spectacular for the Dash, for the city of Houston.
Well, it was fantastic. I mean, my phone was blowing up, and I saw all the front office staff yesterday were really jumping on this with the advent of not only the team winning, but how well Carly and the rest of our players have done. And it's my hope, Glenn, now that at least this is one opportunity for us as a city, not only a city of soccer fans, but I think as a city of sports fan, of all sports in general, get out there Sunday evening and welcome these world champions home. You know, it's a once in a lifetime that you have somebody in a city like Houston do something as special as Carly and these three young ladies have done. And my hope is to see that stadium really full, whether you're Dynamo fans and not Dash fans, or whether you're soccer fans, or you're Houston Rockets or Houston Texans fan or Astro fan. I think if you love sports, this is a great opportunity to get out there Sunday night and really, really see firsthand and show how Houston can welcome that group back, you know. And in light of a parade, I think that's the best way we can do it. And hopefully that will capitalize on that, and it'll be a big turnout for them this weekend.
One last word from you, Randy, on Carly, just getting pushed into that higher position there and just finding her game. Was there something there that just in her mind just said, now, okay, I'm going to release the shackles and just go for it? Because we all know the preparation and the intensity with which she trains and her focus. She didn't have her family there, all of those things. But, you know, you couldn't script this thing any better.
No, and I think with Carly, it was just I think you said it. It was just releasing the shackles a little bit. You know, I think when she had to worry about both sides of the ball so much, it took away from what she does best. And a lot of folks may need to look back to CONCACAF qualifying and remember she really carried us through CONCACAF qualifying as well. She was scoring goals just like this in CONCACAF. And then, you know, early on in this World Cup, because of the role she was playing, I think it just took her out of what she does best. And, you know, fortunately for her, we got her back into a role that, you know, that I think that could see that she's still one of the very best in the world at what she does. And a great, great drive and great competitiveness of this young lady. And can't wait to get her back to the dash.
Yeah, I bet you can. And back to the topic we were talking about, how things change and how they did in this tournament. That's the way it works sometimes as a coach, right? Some things just happen organically.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes it stands out and certain things happen. I can remember winning the national championship at Notre Dame in 2004. And one of the players I was really worried about because she was having some health issues during the year, but she was such a key player. You know, you want to keep playing her. And early on in the season, I know she broke her leg and it ended her season. And in hindsight, the way things were going, that may have been the best thing that could have happened, not for her, obviously, but for our team that year, because it was a real turning point when others had to step up and replace her. And so these things, sometimes they do happen and they just work out and call it what you want. You know, we had some good luck along the way, but we all know that there's that in everything we do. You know, you have to have some breaks go your way, but at the same time, you can, you know, those same things happen to you in years that you don't win. And I think the preparation is what makes you make those opportunities happen. And they certainly did it. You know, I sat back, Glenn, I'm thinking with all smiles, and that goal she scored from midfield. I mean, how many of us dream of scoring a goal like that, catching a goalkeeper off the line and scoring from half field in a World Cup, you know, championship game of all things? I mean, just storybook, you know?
Yeah, what a stage to do it on. And then the other thing, what confidence to even try that? Most people wouldn't even have tried it.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Randy, listen, it's going to be a big day, July 12th. It's the Houston Dash, led by Randy Waldrum, their coach, taking on the Chicago Red Stars. Your tickets are over at HoustonDynamo.com. Get down there. Welcome home the World Cup winners. And, of course, there's a whole bunch of Canadian internationals as well who got to the quarterfinals. So get down there. Support Randy and the Houston Dash. Randy, thank you very much, as always.
Okay, Glenn. Thank you. I appreciate it.
You got it, Randy. Thank you very much for coming on the show. That's Randy Waldrum. Again, a reminder, the Houston Dash in action this Sunday, July 12th. Carly Lloyd, the hat trick in the World Cup final against Japan, will be there. Morgan Bryan, the holding midfielder who helped change this tournament for the U.S., she will be there. Megan Klingenberg, the feisty left back for the U.S. women's national team, she will be there. Lots of star quality on Sunday night, July 12th. Tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. Take a break right now on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.